Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5, The Game. So, boy, yesterday, big news on the Vandy baseball front. Kumar Rocker not signed by the Mets. Now, we had heard some rumblings that it looked like there were some issues with the MRIs and the Mets weren't sure what they were going to do and what they would offer Rocker. And at the end of the day, and I read a report that said that the Mets did not offer Rocker anything. So not one of these things where they didn't like the MRI. So instead of the $6 million bonus they agreed to, let's make it a $3 million bonus. Nope. They didn't offer anything. And I was listening to Joe Rexroad this morning, and I have seen the reaction around town of people who are thinking, ah, the Mets, they just screw everything up. This is terrible management. How could you not want Kumar Rocker? How, what are they doing? And I listened to Joe Rexroad today, talked to, well, the people I've talked to say that Rocker's medicals are clean. They got a pretty good idea where Joe's getting his info from, and it ain't the Mets front office. So I hear you. I was hanging out with a guy this weekend, big Mets fan, that's like, how could you not want Kumar Rocker? He's like the greatest pitcher of college baseball. How could you not want this guy? Who? So I'm going to explain this to you. Let me say this. I think Kumar Rocker is the greatest player of the Vandy boys era. That is college baseball. Tim Corbin's teams. I think that he accomplished more as a collegiate baseball player than anybody else. That includes David Price. That includes Dansby Swanson. That includes Sonny Gray. That includes Carson Fulmer and Tyler Beattie and Mike Yastrzemski and Pedro Alvarez and J.J. Bleda and Austin Martin and Jack Leiter. And I can go on and on and on. I think he is the best. I think he had the best career. And nobody can take away what he accomplished at Vanderbilt. But this is a business. And I'm going to explain to you how this business works. Kumar Rocker didn't get an offer from the Mets with a, what I will consider to be a failed medical, because he chose not to go into the MLB program where they would have done all of those MRIs and they would have done the physical ahead of time. And all 30 teams would have had information on Kumar Rocker and they all could have seen the same things the Mets saw and passed, or they could have, in theory, said, you know what, whatever that is with the shoulder or the elbow or whatever, we're in, and signed Rocker that day. They could have done it, but they didn't. And the rule is, if you're not going to go through that program, then the team can pull their offer to you. If you go through the program, the team has to offer you 40% of the slot value to at least give you a chance to sign. The Mets didn't even make Rocker an offer. As I read, and I forget who reported this, but as I read this decision, the doctors looked at the MRI and said no to Rocker. And they took it all the way to the owner, Steve Cohen, who signed off on no on Kumar Rocker. Now, the Mets are traditionally a bad organization. They're bad like the New York Jets. They're bad like the Washington football team. They're bad like the Chicago Bulls. They're bad like all of these organizations that are bad unless they have a Michael Jordan on their team, and then all of a sudden they're good. But for the most part, they're poorly run year in and year out. They hire a new coach every 3 years. They're picking second or third in every draft, and they're still bad. The New Orleans Pelicans are an example of a bad organization. They got a new owner in Steve Cohen. He's aggressive. He spends money. They traded for Francisco Lindor and then later traded for Javier Baez last week. He's not afraid to go over slot if that's what it takes to get Kumar Rocker. The Mets doctors shot it down. Joe Rexroad and I were texting today. Joe said that he heard the issue was more of a shoulder issue than it was an elbow issue. Well, guess what? Shoulders are a lot worse than elbows are. Elbows are like knees in football. Torn ACL, yeah, hey man, just get it done and, you know, have the surgery, see you a year later. Same with a Tommy John. But a shoulder? Anybody remember Mark Pryor and how good he was on those Cubs teams in the early 2000s? The teams that we thought were going to break the curse, and then Mark Pryor hurt his shoulder? Teams aren't taking a risk on something like that. And so, all I have to go off of is this. Do I wish Kumar Rocker had been signed by the Mets? Do I wish that Vanderbilt could have, the Vanderbilt could have had another first round draft pick sign and rockers in New York, and he's lighting it up in the Big Apple, and he becomes a huge superstar, and he's the next Dwight Gooden. Yeah, I wish that that's what would have happened. But in the last decade plus, we've had three examples of guys going in the first round and a high, all three were top 10 picks, in which teams looked at the medical and pulled it. Barrett Liu in 2010, taken in the first round, sixth overall by the Diamondbacks out of Texas A&M. They looked at the medicals. They didn't like what they saw. They pulled it. Barrett Liu's career was over in 2016, and he only made it as far as 22 games in AAA. Never made it to the big leagues. This was a guy who, again, was taken sixth overall. Brady Aiken in 2014 was taken first overall by the Houston Astros. By the way, when you draft somebody first overall, they want to sign you. They don't want to look at the medical and come back and say, we can't sign you. They want to sign you. They didn't sign Brady Aiken. There was something structurally in the elbow that they looked at and said, this guy, when he has Tommy John surgery, he will not recover like other people because of how his elbow was structured. The Astros pulled the offer from Brady Aiken. He got drafted a year later in the first round by the Cleveland Indians, and he made it no higher than a ball in his career out in 2019. Carter Stewart was drafted eighth overall by the Braves in 2018. They didn't like the medical. They pulled it back. He's pitching in the Japanese NPB. So that's what happens. Three top 10 guys, all pulled, all didn't make it higher than AAA. And I'm supposed to believe that Kumar Rocker is going to be different? Again, this isn't about the heart or desire of somebody. This is about the medical. This is what the doctors are saying. We see this every year at the NFL draft, where teams are nervous about a certain player because of a big injury that they had that maybe keeps them from competing at the level that they once competed at. And this is the other thing. I was talking today at Titans practice with TD, and he's disappointed that the Mets, he's a big Mets fan, he's disappointed that the Mets pulled the offer to Rocker. But when it comes to pulling the offer to Rocker, it's not about the money, and it's not about the do we sign, do we not sign. But it is about the compensation that the Mets receive for not signing Rocker. As is the rules in baseball, if you don't sign a first-round pick, you get a pick that is unprotected next year, but you get an unprotected pick next year that is of equal value to the pick that you didn't sign. So they're going to get the 11th overall pick in next year's draft. So they are deciding, okay, do we take Rocker, sign him, and pray that whatever our doctors saw doesn't come to fruition? Or do we trust our doctors, who we pay handsomely to be our doctors and to tell us whether or not these guys have ticking time bombs in their joints, and then take somebody next year, 11th overall, that we feel comfortable will give us a 4, 5, 6 year major league career? That's the decision the Mets had to make. And so I am not going to jump on the Mets. I do not know what information the Mets had. The Mets will not tell you. And they will not tell you what information they had, not because they don't want you to know why they did what they did. In fact, I think that for public perception, they rather tell you, yeah, dude, we looked at the shoulder and it's got, you know, eventually that thing's going to pop. And once that thing pops, it's over. But they're not going to tell you that because that would ruin Rocker's career. That next year when he goes into the draft, it would ruin his career that every other team in the league would say, oh, well, you know, the Mets know that this, the Mets said that shoulder's going to pop. They're going to make your doctors find it. And maybe your doctors look at it differently. But that's how their doctors that they paid told them. When they drafted Rocker, and I watched that draft, and he was on the couch with his mom and dad when he got picked, the New York Mets didn't call and say, eh, you know, we're not really interested in signing you, so we're just going to do this for fun. That's not what they did. They want Kumar Rocker in their organization. But the medical told them they couldn't do it. And again, the history of first-round picks that have their offers pulled back, especially especially pitchers, over the last decade plus is not promising. And I hate it for Kumar Rocker. But this idea that the Mets just, you know, I think it was Joe Retro today said, I hope a National League team drafts him and he beats the Mets for years and years and years. The Mets did not, this is not personal. This is not like the Mets thought that they can do better than Rocker because they don't think he's any good, or they doubted him, or they made a medical decision. And I don't understand why people don't think, like, maybe the Mets know what they're doing in this aspect. And yet everybody today I talked to is just so bummed out. And how could the Mets not sign Kumar Rocker? And how could this, and how could, like, we see injuries all the time. Anybody remember Isaiah Austin, a basketball player at Baylor? Caroline, do you remember Isaiah Austin?
I don't think I do.
Ian, do you remember Isaiah Austin?
I can't say I do, no.
A handful of years ago, Isaiah Austin was one of the top basketball players in the country. And when he went to the NBA draft combine, they found that he had an enlarged heart and he couldn't play anymore. And so instead of being a first-round pick and being able to provide for his family for the rest of his life, he has to quit basketball. And at the NBA draft that year, Adam Silver announced that the NBA was selecting Isaiah Austin, and they allowed him to walk on stage, and he put on a hat, and I believe the NBA hired him into a role. And it was a feel-good story for a guy who couldn't play anymore. But the truth is, no team's going to draft a guy who might die playing basketball with an enlarged heart. You're just not going to do it. And so whatever the issue is for Rocker and his shoulder, the Mets don't feel like, even at $1, that they would get more value for that than they would for having the 11th overall pick in next year's draft. So I am not banging on the Mets. I think there are a lot of people that are mad at the Mets or are just letting the Mets have it. And I'm telling you, the history of this decision tells me that the Mets probably made the right choice, and it is a very ominous sign for Kumar Rocker's career. And I hate it. I hate it for him. I hate it for Vanderbilt. And I'll be honest, in a sport that has a lot of issues attracting African-American players like baseball has had over the last 20 years, I think a guy like Kumar Rocker would be perfect as an ambassador for the game. And yet, if the shoulder's bad or the elbow's bad, then the shoulder's bad and the elbow's bad. 615-737-1025. We'll get your reaction again on that. How do you feel? Because a lot of people are mad. A lot of people are just going nuts about this Kumar Rocker story. I'm like, guys, like, there might be an issue there. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We are live from the Old Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We have a lot to give away today. So we got a lot of stuff to give away. We will do that coming up all throughout the show. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Wednesday as Nashville SC takes on New England. Pregame coverage at 5:45, and the match begins at 6 o'clock. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
He fell to 10, which in draft parlance means that the team that was drafting him was going to be willing to pay him a lot of money, more than maybe teams 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. They had kind of like a $6 million, perhaps, agreement that if you take him, we'll take the six and you'll sign him. He's not going to sign with the New York Mets because the team believes both his elbow and shoulder are messed up.
There are injury concerns there, certainly. And those injury concerns made it such that the Mets did not believe that paying Kumar Rocker, not just paying him $6 million, paying him anything at all was going to be worth it for them. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing because we've all seen Kumar Rocker and how good he's been, and it's difficult to reconcile what the Mets saw in the imaging and what Rocker's gone and done out and performed.
Yeah, that was Jeff Passan, ESPN, on the Kumar Rocker front. And you hear what Passan said. It wasn't that they decided not to pay Rocker $6 million. It's they didn't offer him anything. They didn't offer him $1 because whatever their medical team saw was worse than the idea of picking 11th in next year's draft. Caroline, do you have a problem? Oh, I'm sorry about that, Caroline. Ian, you're a Mets fan, right?
Yeah, kinda.
Okay. Do you think, without knowing the particulars, that the Mets made the right move on the Rocker front?
Well, you know, what I'll just say, over the years, people have a hard time giving the Mets the benefit of the doubt when it comes to things like this. I think there's just a perception out there, and maybe rightfully so, at times that they just kind of bungle this kind of stuff, and it's the Mets, and they're kind of thought as of kind of a joke, you know? I mean, you did mention they have a new ownership and all that kind of stuff, but I just think the perception out there is that the Mets are going to Mets, and they're going to find a way to screw this up more than Rocker.
So I just go back to all the times teams have pulled offers from guys, they've never made it to the major leagues. In the last decade, guys who have literally had offers and are pulled because of injury concerns. And, I mean, look, we used to work with Floyd, and I think we all remember how he felt about injured players when it came to draft time. That's where the Mets found themselves. Do you have a problem with what the Mets did?
No, I don't have a problem with what the Mets did, because I'll go back to the NFL draft. You and I both, and a lot of other Titans fans and Titans media members, were not very happy with the decision to draft Caleb Farley because he was coming off of a serious back injury and surgery. I think the Mets were doing the same thing here in protecting their investments and protecting their future and saying, hey, look, we like what you did. We appreciate you as a guy so much so that we wanted to have you on our team, but we just can't adopt this risk. And so I can't be mad at the Mets and also backtrack to April and be mad at the Titans for drafting an injured player. I can't be mad at the Mets for not wanting to adopt that same risk. So no, I'm not mad at the Mets, but I will also say, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm a little frustrated with the way that the first round pick went down, because
with your own doctors, though, like, what are they supposed to do? Only draft guys now who go through the pre-authorization, the MLB program, because that's where I think the biggest blunder in all of this. Kumar Rocker is represented by Scott Boras, and Scott Boras is the premier agent in baseball. But the one thing about Scott Boras is he does things his way. So, and he's been very successful with a lot of guys doing things his way. But clearly Boras told Rocker, don't go through the MLB's program, in which would have guaranteed you at least 40% of the slot of any team that had drafted you. So Boras is coming out now saying those MRIs are fine. Well, of course Boras is coming out and saying those MRIs are fine. But I think that right now, I think what's hurting Rocker is I'm not sure that Boras probably did the best job negotiating for him or setting him up in this instance. And look, you can sign with whoever you want to sign with as an agent. But Boras has made his guys a lot of money. But if I had to put blame as to the Kumar Rocker situation going on, I think the number one thing is, look, man, this is just, it's injury luck. This is how the game is played. I mean, I never thought Mariota was the same after his elbow injury. I just don't think he was the same player. And they will explain it to me time and time again about what nerve he damaged at that game in Miami, but it was an issue that lasted for the entire season. So I hate that. The second person I blame is Boras. I mean, I'm with you. If I was a Mets fan, I wouldn't like that we drafted a guy in the first round and didn't sign him. But we've spent a whole year talking about Isaiah Wilson and wondering how the Titans could have drafted Isaiah Wilson. How did you not know that Isaiah Wilson had off-the-field problems? And now we're saying with the Mets, you know, how would you have known? Oh, we did an MRI, our doctors looked at it, and our doctors didn't like it. So you're getting the 11th overall pick next year. Now everybody wants everything right now. And there's no guarantee that the 11th overall pick next year is going to be a better player than Rocker. I mean, baseball first-round picks bust out left and right. This is not the NFL or NBA where you got to pick a guy and they hit. And even those sports have a lot of problems with guys hitting. But the Mets are looking at this like, you know what? You basically get a do-over next year. Mm-hmm. Now you have to make a safe pick. So it's unprotected. So you can't not sign that pick and then next year, you know, get another pick
after that.
Continue
rolling it down the line.
Right. So they're going to get the 11th pick in next year's draft. They're going to take a college kid who's not as good as 11th, and they're going to have to sign him under slot, and they're going to have to agree ahead of time and maybe take the 20th best player with the 11th overall pick. But they still value that more than whatever risk they thought associated with Rocker's arm, elbow, shoulder, whatever it may be. And I've seen guys. I told you. I talked with a guy who played in the big leagues this weekend. And we were talking about guys and arm injuries and all kinds of stuff. And he said, there are guys that sign contracts in the big leagues that put everything they had into just getting that one contract. And instead of, it's not that they get lazy, or it's not that they don't want to be there anymore or something like that. It's that they're holding themselves together for as long as possible in order to sign that contract. And then ultimately the body gives up, the arm gives up, and you just can't do it anymore. And so I understand where the Mets are coming from with, we're going to make an investment here. And now that our doctors have had the opportunity to look at it, and this may have been something that pushed Rocker on down draft night anyways, was I got the 7th overall pick, and I've got this kid that I really like that I can take as a shortstop out of Florida, you know, a Florida high school, or I can take Rocker, but I can't look at the medicals. And I remember during the season, Rocker's velocity went down. Mm-hmm. So teams are going to want to look at the medicals. Well, you can't look at the medicals. So that's where I think Scott Boras probably didn't do his guy any favors, was by not letting teams look at the medicals ahead of time. And maybe that's a mistake Boras will learn from. Maybe Boras will capitalize on it. I heard today Joe Retro talking about, you know, with name, image, and likeness, Kamar Rocker should go back to Vanderbilt and pitch another season. He is not going back to college and starting 20 more games where they're going to want to pitch him 7 or 8 innings. He's going to go to the Fort Worth Wildcats of the Independent League, the St. Thomas or St. Paul Snowhorns, and he's going to make 4 starts and hope that those 4 starts are good enough, and then someone will draft him next year. But the idea he's going back to Vanderbilt, he's not going back to Vanderbilt. There'd be no reason for him to go back to Vanderbilt.
Can he go back to Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have agents, and that's the new thing. You know, now you can have agents, name, image, and likeness or whatever.
Okay, all right.
But yes, he can go back to Vanderbilt, and he's not going to go back to Vanderbilt. Let's check our text line, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have on the Kamar Rocker front?
Ben texts into the text line and says, I don't blame the Mets at all. They have every right, even if he was healthy. Sucks for the kid, but we all reap what we sow to some extent, even when we didn't know better. Only thing I don't like is that he has to sit for a year. The league should change that rule.
So I don't like this either. Now, yeah. I went over the 3 guys that have had offers pulled. Brady Aiken in 2014, first overall. A year later, drafted 17th overall by the Indians. Now, he never made it with his elbow injury, but still, you know, that kind of player. Barrett Lue in 2010 was different. I don't know why the CBA must have been different. The commissioner's office declared him a free agent, and the Texas Rangers signed him and shipped him to AA. And he started his career at AA and then got traded to the Cubs and then was at AAA for a little bit and then kind of back down and out of the league, you know, 4 or 5 years later and never made it to the big leagues. But they allowed him to become a free agent when he didn't sign because they basically put out there that we're not going to sign this guy because of his elbow. I am in agreement that I believe Kamar Rocker should be declared a free agent. So if you are drafted as a college kid and don't sign, then instead of going back to the draft, you're declared as a free agent. The problem with this, though, is that, yes, that sounds good in this case, but how many kids are there that don't want to play for the Pittsburgh Pirates? So they get drafted. Henry Davis, first overall catcher out of Louisville, gets drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Doesn't want to play for the Pirates because they stink.
Doesn't sign, becomes a free agent.
Right, and says, I want $25 million for you to sign me to your crap team. And then you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, we have slotting. We can't do that. Well, I want 25 free agent. That's why you can't do that. So I understand it. I understand the sentiment of it. But I think you'd have to do it in a sense that the team that drafts the kid would have to relinquish the rights. Like the Mets would have to sign off on, in order for us to receive this compensatory pick, we have got to give away his rights to anybody else who wants him. But even then, I don't think if that were to happen, and let's say there is a red flag on Rocker's medical, I don't see him getting more than $1 million. And I wouldn't see a team that would invest heavily in a guy with huge injury question marks surrounding him.
Well, why would you?
I would not. Especially and, in that
I'm sport. With you. Yeah. Why would you invest any more than you absolutely need to in a guy who is a question mark?
Yes. I mean, every pitcher is a question mark, but every young pitcher who hasn't accomplished anything in the game, those are your double question marks.
But Kevin in Nashville in the text line brings up a good point and says, how many people are pitching with Tommy John in the MLB?
So that's where it's different, right? We've talked about this. And I even today, they talked to Jeffrey Simmons after practice, and they talked to Vrabel about, you know, Caleb Farley and comparing it to Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons tore an ACL. Like, I've seen Taylor Lewan at practice walking around. He doesn't do much. But does anybody, like, who's worried about Taylor Lewan coming back off a torn ACL?
Yeah.
So everybody has been injured with Tommy John. This is not Tommy John. Whatever it is, it's not a he'll need Tommy John. Guys have had Tommy John and been drafted.
Guys have had Tommy John and come back better.
And I think that's somewhat of the expectation. But I go back to Brady Aiken. And Brady Aiken in 2014, the Astros took him. And whatever the structure of his elbow was, the doctors said when he has Tommy John, and not if, but when he has Tommy John, he won't recover like everybody else. Like, this is one of those things. It's kind of like the vaccine shot where some people are like, you know, it doesn't work for absolutely everybody. And it's like, right, it's 95% effective. It's not 100% effective. There is still a 5%, and you can be in that 5%. But, again, it's 95% effective. Not every human biomechanically is born the same. You know, there are people out there that have like 6 fingers and 8 toes and things like that. And it's because we're all different. Some people are born without arms. Some people are, you know, born with bigger hands that allow them to do certain things. I mean, as we talk about God-given ability, the structure of whatever it is with Kumar Rocker internally is not worth the investment. And you can argue, well, he didn't have a problem at Vanderbilt with him, but Vanderbilt didn't invest $6 million into him. So it's different than it would be in the, well, but at Vanderbilt, right, Vanderbilt's trying to win a game tomorrow. The Mets are trying to draft an ace for 5 to 10 years. There's a difference there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. NFL camp's going around. Boy, Mike Zimmer is mad at Viking camp. So they got a lot going on there. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And at the top of the next hour, we'll give away something just because, well, we love you. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell everybody out there to tune into Sounds Baseball tomorrow as the Sounds begin a 6-game homestand at First Horizon Park against Toledo, the AAA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Stillman & Company, lively day at Titans practice. Caleb Farley made his appearance, and yes, I was like everybody else. As soon as he hit the field, number 3 in blue, we were all just kind of stalking like, Farley, Farley, Farley. But he honestly didn't really do much today. So, I mean, people are going to be like, Farley practiced today, Jared. What did he do? He didn't do much.
Did you expect him to do much?
No. Yeah. But I was at least hoping maybe he would do much, and he did not. Julio Jones finally got in a team period and subsequently dropped a touchdown pass and then acted as if he was hurt. He may have been hurt. I don't know. Went in for the rest of the day. Vrabel didn't seem very concerned about it. But once the news came out about Carson Wentz and about having foot surgery, I think the vibe as far as the media was concerned at Titans practice changed significantly to forget about what we're watching in front of us. What do we think about this Colts mess? So those are kind of the big headlines around here. But that doesn't mean they're the only headlines around camp. It's time to hit them with Caroline Fenton.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
First and foremost, I would like to thank Ian for taking over the headlines on Friday.
Yeah, good job.
You did a wonderful job on headlines with Ian.
Not
but we're back to headlines
with
Caroline.
Not quite Caroline level, but thank you.
Well, you did great, Ian. You did great for Ian, and thank you very much. But today, Nick Chubb agreed to a 3-year contract extension with the Cleveland Browns. It'll be worth $36.6 million with $20 million in guaranteed. Now, he will join 7 other running backs in the league, making about $12 million a year, joins Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, a group of some pretty high-name running backs in the league. So that's one extension that the Browns have signed, but there is still one up in the air. Baker Mayfield is eligible for a contract extension. Now, so is Josh Allen. So is Lamar Jackson. But I think that I would be very, very surprised if any of those guys go ahead and sign a contract extension now, given that they could make so much more money signing possibly next year, given that the cap is about to explode.
So I think that that's already into consideration regardless, like mm-hmm. for Allen or Jackson, that the cap's going to go up. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have the deal kick in new money until it's time for that deal to kick in. I think Mahomes kind of set that guideline. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a race to who you sign first, Allen or Jackson, because the other guy's going to get a better deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, Watson technically has a better deal than Mahomes, which is wild.
That's crazy.
But Watson has a better deal than Mahomes because he signed after. And Dak has a better deal than both of them. So I think that it's, you know, kind of one of those, you know, you sign in early, you do this. But as we all saw here with Mariota, and we remember that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did the same with Jameis Winston, and ultimately it didn't work out, I think the Cleveland Browns are willing to take that approach with Baker. I also think the Cleveland Browns are willing to franchise Baker. I mean, that's the thing that you have at the quarterback position is, if you're not sure, don't commit. The Rams committed to Jared Goff, and they are just going to bite the bullet. And it may not hit them this year, but it will hit them down the road that they committed all that money to Jared Goff and then a year later dumped him. And I think the same with Philadelphia and Carson Wentz and how they committed to him. And then they dumped him. And now look at their quarterback situation. Look at their team. So if I'm Cleveland, I make Baker prove that he's worth the money. Now, ultimately, that can hurt you in the long run because, as we saw with Dallas and Dak, that they ended up paying him even more money than they would have originally paid him when they tried to work out a good deal. But that was because they were committed to Dak no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the question you have to ask yourself when it comes to signing a quarterback long term. If he breaks his ankle tomorrow, a la Dak, mm-hmm. would you still sign him? Because Dallas franchised Dak, one-year prove-it deal, Dak breaks his ankle. If it's really a one-year prove-it deal, then you would say, all right, well, I guess you can't be our guy.
It.
Didn't prove it to us. So Dallas should have signed Dak from the start. If Baker breaks his ankle today and doesn't play quarterback, and I don't know who their back. I have no idea who their back is. But they have a bad season. Do you think they're really all that invested in Baker at that point? Or do you think they start thinking about, okay, what is our future post-Baker? I mean, for example, San Francisco, you know they're not committed to Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think that the thing about quarterback is now it may cost you in the long term or in the short term because you have to pay a little bit more money because you waited. But I think I'd rather wait than pay the money and then have to give up 3 first-round picks in order to get rid of it like the Rams did.
And to that point, people could say, well, the Browns have said they wanted to stick with Baker Mayfield and the Bills have said they wanted to stick with Josh Allen. I don't doubt that. I'm sure they do. Given the circumstances,
see, I think Buffalo's ready to commit to Allen. Well, like, I think you're ready.
But if Josh Allen breaks his ankle today, to your point,
they still commit.
You still
to
think
Josh
they
Allen.
Commit to yes. Josh Allen?
So I don't think there's. Again, I mean, you have to be a quarterback in this league who you're willing to commit to. Once you are like truly willing to commit, where if they do break their ankle, like, do you think the Bills wouldn't commit to Josh Allen if he broke his ankle?
I think they still would.
I mean, he's a Pro Bowler last year. He's all pro potential. He's the best quarterback they've had since Jim Kelly. Like, that's you do that.
I think especially given the circumstances that the Bills were in a not-so-great spot pre-Josh Allen, and now look what Josh Allen has been able to
sure.
bring them to.
I think it's one of those situations. Tua's going to be the interesting case here. Mm-hmm. Because Miami's committed to Tua, but are they? And I think that's kind of the one to watch. What's next?
Speaking of another NFL quarterback who doesn't really have commitment anywhere is Sam Darnold. Now, according to Carolina Panthers beat writer for The Athletic, Joseph Person, said that Sam Darnold had his worst day of camp so far today. He threw 3 of 7 in the 7-on-7 period, threw 2 picks. DJ Moore fumbled a pass in the backfield. Not looking so hot for Sam Darnold. But in that same breath, J.C. Horn, their first-round draft pick this year, picked off a couple passes from Sam Darnold today. Said the defense looks great. Sam Darnold, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, you of a training camp practice, Tannehill's been throwing interceptions.
Yeah.
And Vrabel was asked about that
today. I'm not going to put all the stock in the world to that.
Well, Vrabel was asked about that today, and Vrabel was like, you know, I mean, I think sometimes there's good plays and bad passes. And it's like, okay, which one is that? And if I were to come on and say, Christian Fulton had an interception today and dropped two more, you guys would be saying, yeah, Fulton looks like he's going to be a starter. You know, he's going to. But then when I tell you, like, you know, Tannehill put one right in his hands, people aren't going to feel as great about that. Mm-hmm. So I have a hard time buying into a training camp interception. Mariota, I think, has like the longest streak of days of training camp practice without an interception. What did that mean to his career? But I will say this. The clock is ticking on Darnold, and the clock is ticking on the Panthers. Like, they have Christian McCaffrey for a limited amount of time, and at some point, I think they have to consider if they can get a good enough pick, blowing it up and building around a number one or number two overall pick at quarterback, and that's probably the end of Sam Darnold's career if that happens.
There's another person that I'm really not going to take any training camp hype or
Kirk
criticism.
Cousins?
No. If this is someone who I will not believe any hype about them until I see them in a jersey in week one, and that is Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
He has gotten some love at training camp, saying, oh, he looks big. You know, he caught a pass from Trevor Lawrence in the red zone today at Jaguars training camp. Look, that's great and all. That's wonderful. He got a target from Trevor Lawrence, and he made a great pass, whatever. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, especially not training camp hype, that will lead me to believe that Tim Tebow is a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year.
So I think that's part of the circus act. And when it comes to the fans that have texted into the text line and said, Jared, why are you so cocky that the Titans are going to win the AFC South? That's an example of why.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it. I hear you. I saw the video
on
Twitter.
You do not hear these people. The people that are believing
I hear them, I'm not
emo,
listening.
But you do not hear them. You do. You, like, the I hear you is like, hey, I understand how you feel. You don't understand how these people feel.
No.
So then you don't hear them.
Okay. Well, I see what you're saying, but I don't agree with you.
So you don't see that because no matter what you see, it will not make you believe that Tim Tebow can play in the NFL.
No.
So then you don't see it.
I'm reading your texts, your tweets about Tim Tebow. I'm reading it.
Okay, there you go.
I'm visually seeing.
Like, I know you're happy about this, but.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but I don't agree with you, and I'm with you. It is a circus act, and there is nothing that will convince me that Tim Tebow will be the tight end for the Jaguars. But there have been a couple more signings as well. Devontae Freeman is signing with the New Orleans Saints on a one-year deal. Signed with the Giants last year after Saquon went down with a torn ACL. Had 172 yards, a touchdown, 5 games, 4 starts. Not great, but New Orleans just adding a little bit of depth to their running back room there. And also, Baltimore Ravens have agreed to sign defensive end and outside linebacker Justin Houston on a one-year deal. He became a free agent in March after 2 years with the Colts. So he's signing it with about $1 million base signing, $1 million signing bonus. Incentives achievable based on sacks in the Pro Bowl. He's been a four-time Pro Bowler. So a little bit of a boost to the Baltimore Ravens defensive side there.
When was the last time he was in the Pro Bowl?
Not recently. Like, it was 4 times with the Colts.
I want to say, no, it was 4 times with the Chiefs. I wonder if
with the Chiefs,
he
I'm
was
sorry.
In the Pro Bowl when you were in high school. Like, I wonder if, like, since you've graduated from high school, if he's made a Pro Bowl squad. So, those moves are so minor to me.
Yeah.
You know, minimum salary, who cares kind of moves. That maybe get you a sack here or there in a Justin Houston and Devontae Freeman. I mean,
adding depth whatever. Where it needs to be, adding extra bodies, but I'm not putting stock into
not
it.
Not sure it means much. Speaking of putting stock into something, everybody is excited. There's a guy on the Titans that everybody's excited about. Now, I have been at training camp practice, and I cannot tell you how well this player has or has not played. And yet, everybody thinks there's some sort of hype there. Are we buying it? Do we think that this will be the year that it finally comes to fruition? I'll explain next. Stillman and Company. Plus, we'll give something away at the top of next hour. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What's next for you, maybe in year three? What's a successful year going to look like at the end of it?
Like I said, I think it was back in OTAs, whatever it may be. You know, my goal is to be disruptor. You know, I'm kind of finding my role on his team, and I'm playing defensive lineman on his team. I think as a defensive lineman, you know, especially in this league, you have to be disruptive. And what more, like, you know, do you need as from a defensive lineman? I think especially every day I wake up, you know, how can I be better than I was yesterday? And that's like tomorrow, you know, with pads coming on, it's kind of start, you know, tomorrow, you know, I can really just, you know, try to be more disruptive now. And then I think it just translates into the season, being disruptive, you know, just not in a run, but also, you know, trying to transition to pads on play action pads, because, you know, we play a lot of teams that actually do that. So, you know, how can I focus on stuff like that in Indy and our individual drill to translate into to the team reps and practice into game day. So
there you go. Big Jeff, Jeffrey Simmons, today talking about, hey, I need to be more disruptive. And I was listening to that at his press conference today. And I will say this. I like Simmons. I think Simmons is a good player. And I think certainly the Titans lucked out. Simmons tore his ACL. They were able to draft him. But they said if he didn't tear his ACL in February of 19 before the 2019 draft, that Jeffrey Simmons would have gone in the top five for sure. And so far, Simmons has been a good player. But there's a difference between good and top five game wrecker, Albert Haynesworth Jr., that kind of talk. And so Simmons got up today and said, I want to be disruptive. I want to be more disruptive. Yeah, be good in the run game, but get to the quarterback and what have you. And I think a lot of Titan fans are beating their chests, excited this year about Jeffrey Simmons. But if somebody asked me, hey, Jared, you've been at practice, what do you think of Jeffrey Simmons? I can't tell you. They're not wearing pads. They're not hitting quarterbacks. They're not tackling running backs in the backfield. They're not doing any of that. So I can't say he's been really impressive or he hasn't been impressive. Simmons is a good player. But good player and game wrecker and disruptive are not the same thing. It was funny when everybody tried to make excuses about Jadeveon Clowney and the fact that the guy never got sacks and never really was ever going to get sacks. And people would say, well, but Jared, look at this Pro Football Focus grade. Look at the ESPN Next Gen stats. They say Clowney is better than Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa makes about $16 million a year, and Clowney does not. And Joey Bosa is going to make even more money in the future. Joey Bosa's really good. Clowney is not. Clowney, by the way, has now been on four teams over the last 4 years. Joey Bosa has not. I like Simmons. But even when Simmons was talking about being more disruptive today, I know there's a difference between, hey, he's a good player and you don't see all the things teams do to him and you don't, and Warren Sapp. I asked Simmons today if he thinks he's doing those things that he says he wants to do. Here's what he said.
Do you think you've done a good enough job of that so far, being disruptive in your career, or do you want to see more out of yourself?
I always expect more out of myself. My standards is very high for myself. I'm a guy who hold myself to a high standard. I know my teammates hold me to a high standard and these coaches. So, of course, I want more out of myself. So
if he's allowed to sit there and say, no, holding myself to a higher standard, then I think we should be allowed to hold him to a higher standard, which is, this kind of feels like the year that if Simmons is going to be that great player, that he really blossoms. I think you told me, Caroline, that in a Jeremy Fowler article, somebody said that they think that if it wasn't for Aaron Donald, that Jeffrey Simmons would be their favorite for defensive player of the year. I like Jeffrey Simmons. I see the potential, but I have never seen him play like the defensive player of the year in the NFL. Now, it took Albert Haynesworth some time, like Simmons, to become a dominant defensive tackle that was dominant against the run and in the face of every quarterback. It took time. It does take time. But it really feels like if Simmons is going to blossom from a good player who you can win with to a great player, defensive player of the year caliber, all pro, Ndamukong Suh type player, it feels like this is the year. They brought in Danico Autry to play alongside of him to help him out. He's now been in the league for two full seasons. He's a well far removed from the torn ACL. He's viewed as a leader on the team. If you're going to be Warren Sapp, this is the year that you do it. So I can't tell you one way or another if Simmons is going to do it. And training camp practices with no pads and no tackling certainly isn't giving me the idea that Simmons can or cannot do it. But I guess I approach this year and say, okay, if you're going to be that good, we're going to find out this year.
And when are we willing to stop maybe possibly this grace period that Jeffrey Simmons has been given? Because your rookie year, you know, I think that you are given some grace. No one's expecting you to be rookie of the year.
Well,
year one.
He came off the knee injury, and so he only played half the season, and he was behind Jarrell Casey. And so those things kind of gave us, you know, Simmons popped a couple of times to be like, wow, look at the guy with that size and speed. And I'm with you. He had a solid season last year. But there's a difference between solid
and defensive player of the year
and great. And when they drafted Simmons, it was, he's going to be great. So this is the year I feel like he has to be great. And so there are a lot of people that have high expectations. We talked on Friday, Kevin Byard, you know, talked after practice, and it was kind of like, okay, do we believe that Kevin Byard is going to right the ship and is going to be back to the old Kevin Byard? And a lot of people said yes, and I would agree. But with Simmons, I look at it and I'm like, you know, if he doesn't do it now, I mean, he probably is never going to be that great player. He'll be a good player, but he probably won't be a great player. And I think in order for the Titans to be Super Bowl contenders in this window, Simmons probably has to be a great player.
And that's what I was going to ask you was, we'll go back to a conversation that we had about, do the Titans really need Ryan Tannehill to be elite? Do they need him to be an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes-esque quarterback? And we said, no, he doesn't need to be elite. Does Jeffrey Simmons need to be the type of player that he says he wants to be?
Yes.
In order for the Titans to find success?
Yeah, I mean, he has to be like Warren Sapp. He has to be, you know, for all these guys, Dupree they're paying big money to, Autry they're paying some money to, Landry's... Simmons is the guy that has to be the breadwinner. And so we'll see. 615-737-1025. We still have to go over who graded well today at camp and who didn't. But coming up next, the Indianapolis Colts right now are facing the possibility that their season may be over before it even begins. But their best choice to fill Carson Wentz's shoes also comes with issues in and of itself. So what do we think they're going to do? We'll discuss that next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, I absolutely love them. But let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook app, my official sportsbook app. We've all had that dream. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, they have Dinger Tuesdays. $5 Dinger Tuesday, place a $25 wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $25 bonus in site credit for every home run they hit in that game. There is a reason that FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple and easy to use with great odds, and when you win, FanDuel will pay you in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JGM to get in on all the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code JGM. You must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for first risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Now, I did say at the top of the hour we'd be giving something away. And because I'd like to consider myself a nice guy, that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of three-day passes to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix this weekend. Don't miss the Music City Grand Prix View Show with Chase McCabe tomorrow at 6, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical and Newton Motor Group. Also this Saturday at 9 a.m., tune in for a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe, brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision and Repair. Good luck on those tickets. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.